If you'll take your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 10 with me tonight. This is the final of a short series we've been in about worthwhile things. We've talked about a Lord worth being served. We've talked about a soul worth being saved, a tear worth being shed, and tonight we're going to look at a message worth being shared. Amen. We sang, "Tell me the story of Jesus." They sang, "Come and dine." That's what you're doing tonight. You come to feast upon the Word of God, hear the story once again. There's another song we sing, "I love to tell the story." Now, it's good to come and hear the story and dine upon the Word of God, but let's not forget to take it to others that they might hear the gospel and be saved. Amen. This is our calling. This is our calling, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you heard any good news lately? You say, "I came tonight hoping to hear some." But we like to hear good news. We like to share good news, don't we? You know what the word gospel means? Good news. Now, we've got some good news to share. Whenever you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are sharing good news. Actually, the greatest news that man has ever heard. And it's tragic that so few Christians are sharing the glad tidings that we have. I read statistics that said 95% of church members have never led anybody to Christ. I find that hard to believe. 95% of our church members have never, ever led anybody to Jesus Christ. I hope that's not true. I hope that's an error. John R. Rice would say, there's two types of Christians. There's soul winners and there's backsliders. Amen. Amen. R.A. Torrey said, what right does a man have to call himself a follower of Jesus Christ if he's not? What did Jesus say? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What's a fisher of men? That's a soul winner. Somebody's going out to share the gospel and to catch people for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we've become content to be keepers of the aquarium instead of fishers of men. We just like to swap fish with other aquariums, don't we? And that's okay, but our major function, keeping the main thing, is we need to go out and share the gospel with those who do not know Christ as Savior. I love that mission report this morning. In Uganda and Kenya, almost 6,000 professions of faith. In the Bible, it talks about one day there were 3,000 professions of faith. But we look at that, we see there's a lot of these native missionaries, evangelists, they're going into all these villages sharing the gospel, and many are coming to Christ. And I praise God for that. But we need to see that here too. If we want to see revival in America, this is how it must be done. We've got to get out and tell the story of Jesus Christ that souls may be saved. During the reign of Oliver Cromwell, the British government was running low on silver to make coins. So they sent people out to try to find any precious metals that could be used for this. They reported back and they said, the only silver we can find is in the statues of saints. He said, well, melt down the saints and let's get them back in circulation. Well, I think that's what we need today. I think our hearts need to be melted that we might put ourselves back in circulation, that the message of Jesus Christ be shared with others. So look at this in Romans chapter 10. Let's begin to read with verse 8 down through verse 13. Paul says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek or the Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Let's think about this tonight as we think about a message. The message we ought to be sharing with others. At first, Paul speaks of the belief in this message. We've got to believe this. You're not going to share something if you don't believe it. That may be the problem. Maybe some are not sharing it because they really don't believe it. They don't really have a strong, vibrant faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul draws a contrast earlier in this chapter between the righteousness that is in the law and the righteousness that is by faith. So here he kind of summarizes the gospel and shows that if one is to accept the gospel, there must be a belief in this message. He talks about a confession that is required. He's implying that if one is to believe in the message, there is a confession that is to be made. And this involves two things. There must be an outward announcement, and there must be an inward acknowledgement. He says in here that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, he's referring to an outward confession, an outward announcement of our faith. Confess it. Don't be ashamed to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So there is this outward announcement that is involved here. Now, don't misunderstand this, that Paul's not implying that a person's got to come down the aisle and stand before a crowd and announce that he believes in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. It does not exclude that. But that's not all that he's talking about. He's implying that the mouth is a symbol of our consciousness, of our awareness, and what we believe. Simply put, it means we've come to the place where we have recognized our sinfulness. We acknowledge that. And we acknowledge we need a Savior. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is that only Savior available for us to believe in. We've got to confess that. Up to this point, before we get saved, we're the Lord of our lives, aren't we? We want to call the shots. We want to sit on the throne. We want to decide what's right, what's wrong. But we got to get off the throne to make Jesus the Lord of our life. Now, there's where a lot of people have problems. They don't want to get off the throne. They don't want to turn control of their life over to the Lord Jesus. They want to call the shots. But there must come a time as the Spirit of God works in us that we see the reality of what life is, the kind of life God wants us to have, that we must put the Lord Jesus Christ in control of our life. And that's so important. Come to that point and understand that. There's another aspect of this confession. Not only an outward announcement, but it's based upon an inward acknowledgement. Simply announcing that I believe is not sufficient. There needs to be a real change, a repentance. We don't hear much about repentance anymore, do we? There's got to be repentance. Except you repent, you shall perish, Jesus said. What's repentance involve? Repentance involves a change. A change of your heart, a change of your mind about God, about yourself, about sin. All this is involved in acknowledging the truth of God's word. One must not only believe that Jesus lived, but that he lives. Not just about Jesus, but in Jesus. There's a difference, you know? You can believe about Jesus, not be saved. Yeah, you can believe what this Bible says, that Jesus died on the cross, that he was born of a virgin, that he was born in Bethlehem. You can believe all of that and not be saved. You're not saved by believing in the Bible. You're saved by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible leads us to him. I think some people don't realize what they're missing. They've got a head belief, but there's never been true repentance where they turn from sin to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. But it's not just repeating a prayer. So once I repeated the sinner's prayer, you can do that and not be saved. Amen. It's not going through confirmation. It's not being baptized. Is there a genuine repentance in your heart and a real faith in Jesus Christ that produces salvation? We need to be careful about that. Second, there's a confidence here that is revealed. He's quoting from Isaiah 28:60. We might go back there and look at this, what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. There it says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Now it was translated, "He shall not be ashamed." What's he saying? That word ashamed means not to be disappointed. In other words, Christ will never disappoint you. He's never disappointed me. Now, I've heard people give their testimony many times. I've never heard anybody get up and testify saying, "I regret that I gave my life to Jesus Christ as a young person. I wish I had waited till I was much older to get saved." I've never heard them say that. But I've heard several say, "I wish I had not waited. I wish I'd given my life to the Lord when I was young. I wasted many years in the world before I got saved." What he's saying is, Christ will never disappoint us. The hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll never be frustrated. It'll never be shattered. There's a confidence here that's revealed. This is salvation by an intelligent faith that lays hold of Christ, the resurrected Lord and Savior. I don't know about you, but I'll say that Christ has never disappointed me. He never has. He is my hope. And it's never, ever been shattered. He's never, ever let me down. He's always picked me up. So in order to be motivated, folks, to share the gospel, we've got to have a belief in this message. Do you believe it? Or do you have doubts? The doubter will not be a soul winner. Amen. If you're a doubter, if you don't have true faith in this message, you'll not share it with others. Second, think about the basis of this message. Verse 12, back in our text, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. "There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, for the Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." You see here a law of equality. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. We're all equal before God. Now back in the first century, a lot of the Jews had a problem with this. See, before this, Gentiles could join the Jewish religion, but they would have to convert to Judaism and put themselves under the law. And that's what they thought with the church, that would continue on. that the Gentiles would have to become Jews to be Christians. And he's saying, no, that's not the case. We're no longer under the law. We are under grace. And the Jew did not see how the pagan Gentile could be in the same position as the sons of Abraham. Right? But Paul refutes that thinking and informs them that the way to God is not through the law, and it is open to all. Whosoever will may come. Aren't you glad there's a law of equality in salvation? You know the odds of winning a state lottery, I read the other day, the odds of winning a state lottery is 0.00008%. That's just a small fraction of 1% odds of winning the lottery. Now, if you buy 100 tickets, it may go up to 0.5%. I don't know, but not good odds, are they? Aren't you glad that there's equality with God? Amen. The odds of you being saved are no different than anybody else. If you'll put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Whosoever will may come. The Bible says in Romans 2:11, for there is no respect of persons with God. No respect of persons. God's not swayed by your social standing, by your physical status. To God, there's no difference between the richest and the poorest, between those of race, creed, or color. He recognizes no person for their prestige or their power or their popularity. You've heard us say several times that the ground around the cross is level. Amen? The ground around the cross is level. We can share the gospel with anybody. We need to be careful about thinking that some are not worthy to hear the gospel. Now, we can be guilty of that. We can be guilty of judging people and thinking that some are unfit to hear the gospel. That's not true. Jesus died for all of them. And all of them should have the opportunity to hear the gospel and be invited to come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's a law of equality because there's a Lord of equality. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. There's no sin too dark. There's no situation too dismal. There's no secret too deep that cannot be forgiven. There's no problem God cannot solve. There's no predicament that He cannot solve. There's no person that He cannot save. We need to see that. The gospel tells us through Jesus, God is reconciled, justice is satisfied, sin has been atoned, judgment has been revoked, condemnation has been canceled, the gates of hell have been closed, and the gates of heaven have been opened. That's a story we need to share with this world. We need to tell them. There's a song that says, did ever saint find this friend forsake him? No, not one. No, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take him? No, not one. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. It was open to whosoever will can come. We can share the gospel with everybody because it's not God's will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. See, Brother Wes, you sure quote that a lot. I love that verse. I love that verse. It's not God's will that any should perish. We need to share that. And let people know that the way of salvation is open to everybody. Then thirdly, note the blessing. The blessing of this message. Verse 13, Romans chapter 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He speaks of a gracious offer. Again, whosoever may come. Now, there's a lot of debate, a lot of discussion today about election. The saved do make up the elect of God. But it's still whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. The election is based upon God's foreknowledge. God knows who will call on him to be saved. God knows who will not call upon him. Election is based upon his foreknowledge. Somebody said, in election, God votes for me. The devil votes against me. I break the tie. How am I going to vote? Now, while God knows who will believe, we don't. Amen. Now, think about this. We don't. Therefore, we need to share it with everybody. We need to tell everyone about Jesus and share the gospel with each and every one. The gift of salvation is such a gracious offer. We can take it to this world. Show them the way from darkness to light. The way from defilement to cleanliness. From deadness to the abundant life. Oh, what a story we have to share with this world. He speaks of a gracious offer. And he speaks of a glorious outcome. They shall be saved. Didn't say they might be saved, does it? Doesn't say they could be saved. It says they shall be saved. Isn't that glorious? I am saved. I know whom I have believed. And I am trusting in him as the only way to heaven. Now you may say, well, preacher, that's just too easy. You're saying all we've got to do is just put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and there's got to be more to it than that. Well, if you listen to a lot of preachers, they do try to make it harder. There's a lot of preachers out there, they are adding things to this. They say, yeah, you got to believe in Jesus, but you also got to do this, this, and this. And they make it harder. They want to add things that's not in the Bible. Proverbs 14:12, look at this. It says there's a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, you leave it up to man, which is the right way. All the religions of the world, what they basically are is a salvation by works. Every one of them. Salvation by works. The Bible says it's by grace and not of works. Man's way is not God's way. And that's why God's way is often rejected. Now, while it is easy to be saved, all you got to do is repent and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you say, well, if it's so easy, why don't more people get saved? It's easy to do, but with many people, pride gets in the way. See, what we're talking about here is humbling yourself before God. I've got to humble myself before God. I've got to acknowledge I'm a sinner. That I cannot save myself. There's nothing I can do to help save me. Amen. The best I can do before God is like a filthy rag. Right. Now, it's hard for a lot of people to accept that. They don't want to humble themselves before God. They don't want to admit that they're a sinner. They don't want to admit that there's nothing they can do to save themselves. And so they reject the true way and they latch on to man's way. They like the salvation by works message better. Then they can go to heaven boasting. But the Bible says It's by grace through faith, not of works, lest any should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So we have security. By trusting in Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not trusting in the best 5 minutes I've ever lived to get me to heaven. It's not enough. I heard about a violinist named Fritz Kreisler, a world famous violinist. He made a fortune in concerts and his compositions. Very generous. Gave a lot of his wealth away. One time on a trip, he came across a very rare, exquisite violin. And he was not able to buy it at that time, but he got some money together later, went back to buy it, and it had been sold. A collector had already bought it. Well, Mr. Kreisler found out who the collector was and where he was, so he went to see him to see if he could buy the violin from him. The collector said, no, it's not for sale. I want to keep it. So Kreisler was very disappointed. He said, well, sir, before I leave, would you do me a favor? Would you let me play it? This is a very rare violin, and if you would just let me play it before I leave, it would be such a... So the man said, well, sure, if you want to, go ahead. So he took the violin out and began to play. And the music that filled the room was so moving, so beautiful, that the collector changed his mind. He said, sir, you take it. Take it into the world and let people hear it. I thought about that. Folks, we have no right to keep the gospel to ourselves. We need to take it into the world and let them hear it. We must go and tell. Go and tell. Somebody said, if you want to get somebody religious, take him to church. If you want to get somebody bored, take him to a committee meeting. I didn't write this. So if you want to get somebody mad, take him to a business meeting. But if you want to get somebody saved, take him to Jesus. Amen. Who can save to the uttermost. How long has it been since you shared the gospel with somebody? Just be honest with yourself. How long? Since you sat down and just shared the gospel and told somebody how to be saved. Don't we have some good news to share? We have a message that will set the captive free. We have a message that will pardon the guilty. We have a message that will save your family, your friends, your fellow workers. We need to share it. As the song says, we have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. As our musicians come, we prepare to have this invitation. If you've been saved, this year, let's do more. Let's do all we can to share the gospel with others. Betty and I have been talking about what we can do. We came up with a plan. I'm going to go ahead and share it with you so you have to hold us to it. We often talk about reaching out to our neighbors. And I have talked to our neighbors around us, and they all lie, say they go to church. I never see them do it. But it's really Betty's idea. She said, Dwight, why don't this year, let's get some gospel tracts with information about our church. And she said, let's just go house to house down our street, introduce ourselves, and just tell them, this year we want to pray for our neighbors. If you've got a prayer request you'd like to share with us, we'd like to write it down and remember you in prayer. And if they're receptive, talk to them about the church, and if we get the opportunity, share the gospel with them. So we're going to do that. We're going to go down Sycamore, come back, we're going to cover that whole street. If it goes well, we may get to another street. But I've been convicted that we need to do more to reach the lost with the gospel. Our time's running out. Seriously, our time's running out. As I said, if we don't do it, who will? If we excuse ourselves, we want everybody else to do the same. Flower Street, let's make this a priority this year. I'm going to have a soul winning class on Wednesday night here pretty soon. Every once in a while, I like to just teach you how to share your faith. But most of you know how. You just need to start looking for more opportunities to do it. As we stand together, I'll deny you before my Father. Sometimes we don't deny Him by being silent.